Okay, so today's daf is Shabbos, daf Kuf Yud Zayed. We will begin with the end of Kuf Tes Zayed Amud Beis, Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, Bitarte Pligi. Rav Ashi wants to explain that the Chachamim of Shmuel Beno Shav Yochan Ben Broka argue regarding two different issues. Okay? This has to do with, do you flay the skin of the Korban Pesach, the whole skin, or only the parts where the meat goes to, is burnt on the Mizbeach? So he says he argues on two things. Pligi betilto, they argue, are you allowed to move the Korban Pesach after you remove the forbidden fats from the sun to the shade so it doesn't get ruined, so it doesn't smell, okay? Because after you remove the fats, does this become muksa, or is it a klish of alach til ister? Is it some kind of muksa situation here? Is there a prohibition of moving it, or a klish of alach til ister? Maybe upligi bimalacha, and they're arguing regarding flaying the skin. Are you allowed to flay the skin? V'alchi kabrilei. This is what the Chacham said. V'mishmal im atzil es atik hasefer im hasefer. And if we save the bag, the container of the sefer with the sefer, because it's kavod ha-sefer, because it's tzarach gavoa, you're allowed to move even the tik. Then lo detaltel or agav basar. So if you're allowed to move the tik ha-sefer with the sefer, the bag, meaning shouldn't we move the skin that's connected to Korban Pesach because of the meat, so the meat doesn't smell. So, and the Gemara says, no, me dummy, is that similar? Hasam there, tikas, the sefer is nasa basis davar hamutar. The bag, the container in which the sefer Torah is in, is considered a basis. So you're allowed to move it even without the fire, because the sefer, there's no prohibition to move the sefer, so you're also allowed to move the bag. Okay? Because it's a basis of davar hamutar, so you can move it. But halacha, regarding moving the Korban Pesach, the skin is not set basis of davar ha'aser. It becomes a base for the davar ha'aser. In other words, the meat, since the meat is forbidden, so also the skin is forbidden. The meat is not fit to be eaten on Shabbos, right? Why is it? Because we're talking again, Erev Pesach. The Erev Pesach fell on Shabbos. So you shechted the Korban Pesach. You burn the fats, right, on the Mizbeach. So that's fine. That's good. That you could do on Shabbos itself. That's Tzarach Gavoa. But the meat is forbidden on Shabbos. It's not permitted to be eaten until Pesach. So therefore, it is Muksa. And then the skin then becomes a Basis of Davar Ha'aser. And therefore it is forbidden. Right? So,
practically, we're going to learn in Pesachim that at some point there were literally a million Korban Pesachs that had to be makruv on Erev Pesach. So there are hundreds of thousands of people, 100,000 people that were there. We're not talking about one Korban Pesach here. That you're talking that it could be muksa. Talk about hundreds of thousands. It just doesn't make sense.
You're asking practically, how would they be able to leave the Korban Pesach there until
Sunday? No, but the Rabbanan would have done something. Certainly, Shasat Chak.
For what? What are you asking? You're asking, how is it possible for them not to move it and to leave it there until the Saturday night? That's what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Right, that's what you're saying. Okay, I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know. They're debating. Now, first of all, like, these things are all hard to know because, like, what did they do? So you say probably they found something, but maybe they don't know what the solution is. They're debating. These Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshav Yochanan ben Broka, I would imagine he lives after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. So according to the opinion that says, according to the Chachamim, it's not a problem because they can actually carry it all. According to Shmuel ben Oshav Yochanan So what's he saying? He's saying that they would not be allowed to move it. So what did they do? So you can say, I don't know, but it's a halachic problem. So what did they do? He's saying he doesn't know. Doesn't mean, it's hard to know. So you have a question. I don't know what he would answer, but he's saying this is not necessarily a solution. Maybe there's another solution that we don't know of. I can't answer the question, but I'm saying this debate they had was after the fact. So you want to know, what did they do? So do they rely on the Chamzi?
It was after the fact, so they...
Okay, so you're right. So they probably did a different solution. I don't know.
They had some...
Maybe.
...to show that this is what they did.
Okay, but we don't... But maybe there's some other solution which we haven't thought of yet. I don't know. I don't know. So...
Rabbi, there's always a lot of... You have many cases in Shas where they argue about things that went on, let's say, in the Beis Hamikdash or whatever. When you say to yourself, wasn't there a Masorah? Didn't they know what happened? Did they, how it went? So I think it's probably a similar thing here. A lot of this... It's like, I don't say it's just theoretical, but in other words, they're arguing just in what the basic halacha would be. I don't know if they're actually arguing in practicality.
Right. Well, the question is, how he's asking, if I may sharpen his question, is what would have been a solution for, according to Rav Yochanan Broka, what would a legitimate solution have been in that instance?
It's a problem.
Right. I think my point is sometimes you'll have a debate of what happened in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, and both positions could have been legitimate. Both positions were workable positions. Yeah. I think Howie's point is that Rav Shmuel ben Osher Ben Broka, that his solution is not a practical solution. So what would he have said would happen? I don't know. Okay.
Maybe it was a nice, like we say, the other day, where
maybe
everyone was standing in front of each other. Maybe it's not going
to
be nice.
Maybe, hard to know. Okay, maybe. Eliyahu Hachi can't relate. So this is the Chumash about Yerushim ben Osher Yerucham ben Broka. Imatzilin tikshol sefer, imat sefer v'afgav, avol pishesh b'silcha bos. If you save the bag of a sefer Torah with the sefer Torah, even though there's money inside, lo netaltel or agav basar, you can't move the skin together with the meat. So the Gemara says again, mi dami. How is this? How can you compare the two? They don't. How can you compare the two cases? Hasam nasib basis davar asar. The Ula davar mutter. It becomes a bas davar ha'asar v'mutter. It becomes a base for something that's permitted and forbidden. The sefer Torah and the money, and that is permitted, right? And so if something is a bas is a davar asar v'mutter, you're allowed to move it on. On Shabbos, classic case, you have a table and you have candlesticks, you have challah. So the challah is more important than the candlesticks. So the table is a basis for the challah and for the candlesticks. You would be allowed to move the table. Hacha, but here, regarding moving the Korban Pesach, the skid is kula nasis basis davar aser. So after you remove the fat, so it's the skin is just a basis for a forbidden thing, which is the meat. And therefore, you shouldn't be allowed to move it. So this is what the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher ben Broka. Did I get it right? Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher ben Broka. Okay. So, imavien tik, sheish pesach hamos mi'amam. If you're allowed to bring another place in the house, a bag, and it has money without a sefer. Lahatzil bol sefer Torah. In order to save a sefer Torah.
It's like a different case. Like, you're bringing it. The original case, I think, is where it's already in there.
Right. And you don't have to throw out the money. So even though it's a basi sadavar ha'asar, lo detatal or agabas, so shouldn't you be allowed to remove the skin together with the meat? So Gemara says, wait a second, higuf manal, how do you know this is true? How do you know that you're allowed to take a tik with money inside of it, a bag, in order to save the Sefer Torah? Elam, if you want to say, demida hecha de isbe lo shadi lahu, that since when there's money in the Sefer, you are saving them together, and you don't need to throw out the money. Yisur nami maisinan. So maybe also then you'd be, if maybe we say that if the money, if let's say there is money in the tik together with the Sefer Torah, then you don't have to throw out the money. So then yisur nami maisinan. So you don't, maybe then you're also allowed to bring the tik with money in order to place the Sefer Torah inside of it. So me dummy, who says so? Who says this case is comparable? Hasam ad hachi v'hachi. So he says there, in the case where the Sefer Torah and the money is in the tick, you don't have to throw out the money because while you're throwing out the money, nafla delek ala sefer, because there's a danger. We don't tell you to throw out the money right away, because let's say you throw out the money, so maybe at that point in time, the fire will burn the Sefer Torah. Hacha ad hacha ad hacha lishtina. Here you have enough time when you're bringing the tick to bring it to the Sefer, so maybe then you should throw out the money while you're, as you're coming to it. So just because you can keep the money, you don't have to get rid of it right away, it doesn't mean that you have to. It doesn't mean that you're allowed to throw out the money once you have the Sefer Torah inside of it. And therefore, because
what is the difference between the two cases?
So what I'm saying is the following: Let's say I have a bag with money. So, the presumption here.
The bag with the money and the safe is in it already.
Yeah. So I'm saying, so if you bring a bag with money to throw out the Sefer, you bring a bag with money inside of it to a Sefer Torah. When you bring the bag with the money, throw out the money first, because we're not so concerned. It takes you a couple of seconds, I guess. The assumption is it'll take you a couple of seconds just to empty it. It probably takes more time when you have the Sefer Torah inside of it and you have money, try to fiddle around with it to get rid of the money. And in the meantime, the fire will burn the Sefer Torah. I would probably conjecture that if you know that by waiting to take out the money even before you bring it to the Sefer Torah, it'd be too dangerous. The fire might destroy burn the Sefer Torah. You probably would be allowed to carry with the money. I think there's a whole het there. The whole allowance for you to not throw out the money is predicated on the fact that you're doing it to save the Sefer Torah, and you have no justification when it comes to our other case with the skid. So I think what the Gemara is assuming here is that before you put the Sefer Torah inside, it's very easy just to dump the money. But once you have the Sefer Torah inside, you have to fiddle around with it, and that's a little more challenging. So the Gemara now returns the original proof and says, like what we said earlier, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka only argue regarding Hafshata. They're not arguing regarding Muksa. The Chabad bring a proof from our Mishnah that if you save the bag together with the Sefer, even though there's money, so since they permitted Tzarech Hedyot, the needs of, your ordinary needs the money, because of the Sefer Torah, so also when you're flaying the skid of the korban, since you need just to flay the skid until the breast in order to burn the libs, and so therefore you're also allowed to flay the skid of the skin. Udakav kashalad, and according to, I'm just muting everyone. If you obviously unmute yourself, there's some background noise. And according to your question that you asked above, how could the Chachami want to prove according to Mishmuel from our Mishnah to permit the skidding of the Korban Pesach? So Hacha Tiltol. So here at our Mishnah, so by saving the bag with the money, the prohibition is in Issur Drabbana.
No, that's the question.
Right. How could the Chabib?
That was the question we asked. There's no comparison between the two cases.
But how could you prove from our Mishnah to allow the flaying of the skid? So here by Hacha, here by the bag, the Isser is tiltol, is moving to Rabbanon, and Hacha by the flaying of the skid is a Malacha. That's an Isser Daraisa. So how could the Chabib prove that they allowed an Isser Tiltal, just doing something that was rabbinically forbidden, so therefore you could also flay the skin, which is a Torah prohibition. So they would answer, Shkigol delo kaboy le laor. So it's talking about a case where you don't need the skin that you're flaying. You're not doing it for the needs of the or for the skin, and you only need it because you want to get the meat. So that would probably be a malacha, she'eda tzricha legufa. And therefore, at least according to Rabbi Shimon, that would be permitted. But the Gemara says, "Habai v'ra d'Rabbi Tavaya b'Rabbi Shimon p'sikreishi lo yabus." But don't abide. Rabbi famously hold our p'sikreishi cutting off the head of the chicken. That if there is, right, what are you doing here? If you cut off the head of a chicken, you want to play with the head of the chicken. But inevitably, you're going to kill the animal. That would be forbidden. So to here, what are you doing? You're flaying the skin. I don't want this skin for the purpose of the skin. I want it for He's calling this a davar she'eino biskaven. I apologize. He's calling this a davar she'eino biskaven. So this is unintentional. So that it's definitely going to happen. The blacha is definitely going to happen, and it's unintentional. So the so did the by Rabbi say doesn't he admit that in that case it would be forbidden? So the Gemara answers that the shaki lebe barza, you flay the skin in small pieces. You do it in an unusual manner, and therefore it becomes only rabbinically forbidden. And therefore, once you knock it down to be only an Issur Rabbanan, so now the comparison is good. Just like when it comes to the moving the tik with the and saving the money, so since only an Issur Rabbanan, we allow you because you're doing this permitted action. So too, once we're allowing, we allow Tzorech Hedyot Agav for Tzorech Kavoa. In other words, we allow you to do your personal benefit for the once you're doing the benefit for Kadosh Baruch Hu, but we only allow you to do it with an Issur Drabbanan, so we knock it down to an Issur Drabbanan. Okay. The Mishnah then says, Ulehecha Batzilat Osa, and what do we say? We save it to a Mavoid alleyway that is not open on both sides. Ben Beseira says, we even move it to a Mavoid that is open on both sides. The Gemara clarifies, Hechli Dabi, what's the case of a Mefulash? What's the case of an alleyway that is open on both sides? That Ben Beseira allows you to save Kisvei HaKodesh. And Hechli Dabi, she'ein Mefulash. What's considered ein Mefulash? Amar Rav Chista says, hold on one second. Sorry. Okay, Rav Chista says, Shalosh Bechitzos Ushnei Lechayim, when you have three complete walls in an alley, and you have two lechis, the lechis are two beams that are, hammered into the ground, what's it called? Notes, staked in the ground from the two openings of the fourth wall, when there's no Bechitza. Zehu Bavo Yishayim Befulosh. So this is considered a bavoy that is not open to Rishus HaRabin. When you have shalosh bechitzos v'lechi echad, if you have three walls and you have one of these beams that is staked in the ground, zehu mavoy habafulash. This is an open bavoy. V'tarvayhu aliba de Rabbi Eliezer. And this, both of their opinions, and the Rabbanan and Ben Beseira. Are both this is both according to Rabbi Eliezer. Did not, because we learned in the Mishnah that Hechsher Bavoy, the way that you prepare a Bavoy with three walls to be allowed to carry in it, Bishabe says, Lachi Vekora, you need to put the stake in the ground by the entrance, by one of the entrances, and a beam, a cross beam, as a Hecher, as a sign that this is Rishus Hayachid. Rabbi Silo says that O lechi O kora, you need either a lechi or a kora, and Rabbi Lez Omer Shnei Lechayim. Rabbi Lez says you need two lechis, and the Chavim, and they hold like Rabbi Eliezer that a mavoy is only permitted with two lechis, and by saving Kisvei Kodesh, we're saying that it's sufficient. According to Ben Beseira, you only need one lechi. But the Chavim say you need two lachis. In other words, Ben Beseira is more lenient for saving a. Again, there are two different issues, right? There's the carrying, and then there's the moving, and there's potentially muksa issues. So the maybe we'll see. I guess we'll see in a bit. But the point is, according to the leniency, seems to be just like Ben Beseira. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer says you need two lechis for a... One second. I'm sorry. Right. You need two lechis for a mavoy she'eno mafulash. Right. The Chachamim say you need two lechis for an eno mafulash. So that's like Rabbi Eliezer who said, so that's regular... So that's a standard rule. And Ben Beseira says we're being more lenient that to carry it, in a mavoi mafulash when there's one lefty, according to Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi is going to ask two questions of Chisado. First question is, Amar le Rabba, shalosh mechitza v'lechi echad b'fulash karishlei, how could you call that a mavoi mafulash, an alleyway that's open to Rishus HaRabbim? So it's, you know, even though Rabbi Lazar holds that you need two lechis, it doesn't mean that it's called a mavi mafulash with one lechi. V'od the rabbana, according to the rabbanon, datzil l'socho ochlinu bashkim. Right, so that's the question I was trying to address here. I was going through that. According to the rabbanon, so like, what are they telling you? They say you can save kisvei kodesh, you can bring it into a mavoi that's edom mafulash. Well, if we're defining Eidom HaFulosh as being, right, that Eidom HaFulosh, that you can bring it and it has two lechis, so like, what's the big deal? There's no special dispensation. It seems like there is that the Rabbanon are telling you there's a special dispensation, a special leniency for saving Kisvei Kodesh. But if we're talking about an alleyway that's Eidom HaFulosh, that has two lechis, then you can carry even food and drinks in it. So why are we, What's the special halacha regarding saving something from a fire? Kisvei Kodesh. Elmar Rabba. So rather, Rabba explains this debate differently. Shtei mechitzos u'shnei lechoyim. If you have two walls and two lechis, like a lechi for each opening, zel bavoi shnei b'fulash. That is a bavoi that's not b'fulash. And shtei mechitzos v'lechi echad, zel bavoi b'fulash. If you have two lechis and one, two mechitzos and one lechi, then it is a mavoi mefulash. So as long as you have, basically, right, you have four sides. So you have two opposite sides, you have two walls. And so that, right? So for the third side, you have a lechi, and the fourth side, you have a lechi. That's eino mefulash. Eino mefulash means you have nothing to signify that this is somehow covered. Right? You have two walls, lechi here, lechi here. So therefore, you have two lachis, and I'm sorry, you have two sides, two walls, and then two lachis, one for each opening. So that's eino mefulash. If there's only one lachi, then you actually have one side where you have nothing. You don't have a mechitza, and you don't have a lachi. That's a mavi mefulash. V'tarvaya liba de Rabbi Yehuda. And both positions follow Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya, because we learn a brisa. Yeser, Cain, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said more than this. If someone has two houses in two sides of a Rishus Harabim, right? So, Osa Lachim Mikan, Lachim Mikan. You make one Lachi on one opening and Lachi on the other opening. So you have the two walls and two Lachis. O Kor Mikan, Kor Mikan, or a cross beam in either side. But Nose Bamsan, you can carry between the two houses. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, any place that has two walls is defined as a Rishus HaYachid min HaTorah. And here you have two walls from two houses. And you have a lechi or a crossbeam as a heker, as a sign, so you don't carry in Rishus HaRabim. So you know this is a Rishus HaYachid, not Rishus HaRabim. Now you need two things. You need, number one, for it to be a Rishus HaYachid min HaTorah. Right? We don't hold it like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds you only need two walls. So, but you need basically walls, enough walls to make it the Rishus HaYachid, and you need signs so you don't confuse the Rishus HaYachid with the Rishus HaRabim. So the fact that you have these two lachis, or two kores, or lachi and a kore, I guess, so that's a sign so that this is different. Amrullah, the Chachamim say, Ein ma'arvim Rishus HaRabim kach. No, we don't. If it's two walls, it's a Rishus HaRabim in a Torah, you need to have three walls. And a lachi or kore does not permit a Rishus HaRabim. So the Chachamim and Ben Biseira hold like Rabbi Yehuda here. So they're saying within Rabbi Yehuda's position, who says two mechitzos and two lechis. So with Kisvei HaKodesh, Ben Biseira says that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that all you need are two mechitzos and one lechi. And the Chachamim say, no, you need two mechitzos and two lechis. So we're going to ask the very same question that we asked. The same question Rav Chista asked, Abai is going to ask on Rabbah. Right? Because I'm really Abaye, the duck on you, the Rabbanan Natsil Tokha Ochli Mashkin. If indeed you're saying we're following Rabbi Yehuda, then the Rabbanan are not giving any special dispensation, special leniency to saving Holy Scriptures, saving Kisvei Kodesh. Why? Because they hold for anything as long as you have two walls and two lechis, then you're good. So what's the special leniency? Ela Maravashi. Shalosh machitzas v'lechi echad zeh mavi sheinu mafulosh. Shalosh machitzas v'lechi zeh mavi mafulosh. Afila Rabbi Eliezer the Amar ba'inan lechayayim. We're saying the following: if the mavi has three walls, so then it's a deraisa, and deraisa which is the yachid, and it has one lechi, that's a mavi sheinu mafulosh. And if it has three machitzos without a lechi, that's a mavi mafulosh. And both of them, both Rabbanim ben Misera hold, like Rabbi Eliezer, that you require two lechis. And the Rabbanim hold that even according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that you normally require two lechis, hani mili la'ochli mumashkim, that's only for food and drink. Aval sefer Torah b'chad lechi sagi. All you need is one lechi. So the debate is not whether you need one or two lechis. The debate is about whether you need zero or one lechis. We're talking about a case you have three walls. If you just have three walls and no sign, no heker on the fourth wall, that is a mavi mafulash, that's a mavi that's open to Rishus HaRabim, and there's a danger that you might mistaken this for Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, and but nevertheless, Ben Beseira says, you could be lenient to save Kisvei Kodesh. Even, right, and the Rabbana, and if it's one lechi, that's a mavoi mafulash, but even though it's a mavoi mafulash, it's not open to Rishus HaRabim, still Rabbi Eliezer says you need two lechis. But in this, the Rabbanan would say, for Kisvei Kodesh, you could be lidi at the coin to Rabbi Eliezer. Okay? Next, Mishnah. Matzilin mazon. We're talking more things that you can save from a fire. Matzilin mazon shalosh sudos haroi la'adam. La'adam Havar lebehema lebehema. You can save from a fire food for three meals, for the meals of Shabbos. Food that's fit for a person, you can save for a person. And food that's fit for an animal, you can actually save for that which is needed for that day. Ketza. So how is this? What's the reason? So I'm saying, how are you able to... Sorry, how does this come out in practice? So... Nafla Deleka Baleli Shabbos, Betzil Mazon Shal Sudos. If a fire breaks out on Leil Shabbos before the meal, we can save the meal, the mazon, for three meals. B'Shachris, if the fire breaks out during the morning before the Shachris meal, Matzil Mazon Shtei Sudos. We can save a meal enough for two meals. B'Mincha, if the fire falls out by mincha, mazon suda acha. So you can't just save three meals. You can only save what is necessary for the rest of Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi says, lo matzim mazon shalosh sudos.
Save three meals for animals, or, I mean, they don't have to eat shalosh sudos and nothing else.
Well, it doesn't, yeah, this seems to be, I think, well, I guess we'll probably discuss, yeah, the behema. The Ritva writes, in the behema, there's no mitzvah of shalosh sudos. Maybe the donkey or of Yair ben Pinchas. No, I don't know. Okay, but no, I don't think so. I don't think even if the donkey is makbid and Shvisas behema himself, so I don't think, and kashrus, I still don't think there's a chiyuv shalosh sudos for behema. But no, the Ritva points out, makes your point, Herbie. It doesn't, the shalosh sudos applies to a person and for an animal what needs for that day. And
they quote here that either it means that the shalosh sudos is only referring to the people, not animals, or it could be that since a person has an obligation,
right, you have to feed your animal, right? I was going to say right.
For him,
the Tiferes Yisrael. That's what David's quoting. Tiferes Yisrael writes that there's a mitzvah you have to feed your animals before you feed yourself. So maybe before each meal, you have to make sure that your animals are fed. So. I don't know if they have the kazayas of pas, but it's a good question what that means. Now, I don't know the answer to the following question, Herbie, which is the following. When it says before you eat, you have to make sure your animals are fed, does that mean that your animals are, that means you have to actively feed them or make sure that they're not hungry? Right? So that might be a difference in our case, right?
It's also a question. I mean, I don't know how animals eat. Do they eat one meal a day, or do they?
You know, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But Herbie, that's what I'm saying. In other words, what I'm saying is that's your question probably is based on the following question, which is, when it says you have to make sure before you feed yourself, feed your animals, that means you have to actively feed them something, or is it make sure that they're fed? So that would be your question, if they only eat once a day or twice a day. So I would imagine it's the latter, but I haven't studied the topic. So Rav Yossi says, no, you have to save three meals. You have to save three meals. And I guess we're going to discuss the reason for this, I think. So the Gemara, Michti, let's see, Beter Katarach. Wait a second, you're allowed to. This should be all permitted because you're saving food that are it's mutter betilta, right? There's no problem of moving food. Food is never muksa, so not till tfei. So why don't you save more food? So Amar Rava Mitosha Adam Bahol Mamono Yishor Estay Asi Lechabuye. We're concerned that because someone's so concerned with his money, if you allow him to save more, then you're going to forget and you're going to extinguish the flames. What's very interesting is that sometimes in halacha, we allow you to set aside a rabbinic prohibition because we're concerned if we don't allow you to do this, you're going to violate a Torah prohibition and do worse. So sometimes we're going to be leading and say, for example, let's say you have a pipe that's going to burst, or you have grass that's whatever, this causing a leak in your house, and there's grass. So you got to fix it in an unnatural way. You got to basically try to sometimes, it's a major financial loss, sometimes they allow you to set aside a Torah prohibition, but do it in an unnatural way. Because if they don't allow you to do that, then you're just going to fix it, do an Issa D'oraisa. So sometimes they're lenient for you to do malacha, because they're concerned that if they're not lenient, then you're going to be so concerned with your money, with the saving your money, so you're going to violate a worse sin. Here, we're limiting what you're allowed to do, because if we say you can save as much food as you want, then you can say, oh my gosh, I have tons of food, so I'm going to take out the fire. So what they say is three meals. So that hopefully people will know, okay, only three meals, not more. And this, by the way, this also now can understand Rabbi Yossi's position. Because really there's nothing wrong with taking out three meals. Who cares, two versus one versus three? It's a fixed amount. The only reason why we don't let you save more is because if we let you save more, you're going to extinguish the fire. It could be just with three meals. They may affect sin. Sometimes you're going to need to save three meals. So it's a blanket rule, always three meals. In any case, Abaye asks on the answer of Rava. Amale Abaye says to him, Ela ha detanya, but we hope we learn a braisa. Nishpa lo chaviz barosh gago. Maybe kli umeniach tachteha, uvashal yavi kli acher biyiklot, kli acher biyitzarif. So he says the following: if a barrel of wine breaks on the top of your roof, you can bring another kli and put it under it to save the wine, as long as you don't bring another kli to capture the whatever is dripping from the air after it's poured from the roof, and not another kli acher biyitzarif. You can't fix the kli next to the roof so that the wine will pour from the roof to the kli. In other words, you can't bring more than one kli to either collect the wine or to sort of hold, I guess, the first kli in place to save the wine. So hasa my gzera ika, what gzera is there to make there? Here you're being torach, you're burdening yourself with something that is permitted. And why can't you bring more kalim? So Rava answers, Hasam Nami, Gzera Shemo, Yabi Kli Derech Rishisaravim, that maybe there's a decree that you might bring another Kli, you might forget and bring other kalim via Rishisaravim. Now the Gemara is going to discuss this the continuation of this price. Gufa. Nishpa lo chavis bros gago. Let's say a barrel breaks for you in the top of your roof. Maybe kli umeniach tachtecha. You can bring another kli, and you can place it on there. Vachlo yovi kli acher biyiklod, kli acher bitzarif. As long as you don't bring another kli to collect more wine, another kli to hold the first kli in place. Nizdamin lo orchim. If guests come, maybe kli acher v'kolay, kli acher mitzarif, lo yiklod v'acher kach yasmin. Then you can bring other kalim, but you shouldn't first collect the wine and then invite guests. El yazid v'achach yiklod. But first, if you invite it first, then you can collect it. Vein marim bekach, but you can't invite. You can't be a trickster here, and invite guests that you don't need to drink the wine, so that you can save that which is left. Moshe Yossi Bar Yehuda Marim, he thinks you can create this kind of trick, this kind of harama. So lema Bipluksa, the Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Kamiflagi. Let's say that they're arguing regarding Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua's other argument. We're going to see what is that argument. The Tanya, if we learn a Brisa, Oso Spino, an animal and the child of an animal, that you can't check them on the same day. Shinafla Labor, they both fell in a pit. And after you brought one up from the pit, it emerged that you move the second one for without a need, because you can't check both of them on Yom Tov, so you only need to move one of them. So what are you doing? Take out the first one, Amanas the Shochet, in order to shecht it. And the second one, you feed it in its place so it doesn't die, but you don't take the second one out of the pit, because that would be tiltil shelo tzarach, that you're moving it for no purpose, because you're not shecht it that day. He says, take up the first one, in condition to shecht it, and then you don't shecht it. And then create this trick and say, nah, I think the second one's better. Umala sasheni, and then you bring up the second one, ratzitzeshochet, then you can pick whatever you want. So that seems to be a machlokit. Can you do a harama? That's between Yeshua and Elazar. So they're saying that that's our debate here. Mimai, again, you can't always do a harama. That's a big concept in general. Like, when can you do a harama? When can you not do a harama? So it could be, again, that it depends how recognizable the harama, that the harama is. That could be a question about how big the harama is, how much it seems like you're skirting the issue. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, Mimai, Tilmat Kalokum Rabbi Lezer Hasa, maybe Rabbi Lezer, in the case of the animals, say, there you can't create this kind of trickery. After Parnasa, because you can give the animal food so it doesn't die, and you're not going to lose. So there's no loss there. Avahacha, when the barrel breaks, lo efshar, you can't save the wine without bringing other kalim. So therefore we would say that they're going to say that there you're allowed to create this trickery. Maybe Rabbi Shua over there says that you're allowed to create the trickery. Mishum dika tzar balechaim. There's tzar balechaim for the animal, and that's another factor of halacha. But here, the leka tzar balechaim lo. There's no tzar balechaim. The Rabbi Shua would say you can't make the trick. The Gemara now brings. Yeah.
What happens if all along you wanted the second animal, but you had to take the first one out to get to the second one? But there was, the second one was bigger or something like that. So if you wanted to shut that, have to, if you had in mind to do it, but the first one is in the way, so you take out the first one to get to the second.
I think that would be permitted. I think generally we hold that if you're allowed to remove something that's muksa, you're allowed to move something that's muksa in order to get something that's not muksa. I think we generally hold the tzarach dover mutter. I think you're allowed to do that. You have to do it indirectly. I don't think you have to do it indirectly.
You don't need them to do this whole thing of the trickery. You can always just say that you need it, you want the.
Okay. I mean, okay, you're doing another check. Well, let's say it's clear there are two animals in a pit. They're not near one another. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. Yeah. So, Tana Rabbana, rabbis teach. Hitzil pas nekia, ein matzil pas hadra. You're allowed to save bread that's, from good flour, but you can't take bread that it's not such good flour. You can't say, oh, I prefer this bread. You can't say, oh, I want this bread. You can't say bad bread and say, oh, I want this bread. Because
that's if you took out the good bread already.
Right.
Right. Four three sudas.
Right. If you took the good bread for three meals, then. Yeah, but isn't that obvious? Oh, okay, right. You can't take any more bread because you already took the three meals. But pas hadra, if you took out the bad bread first, and then you say, oh, wait a second, back in my house, I have good bread. I took out bad bread. Then matzil pas nekiya, you can take out good bread.
When he sets aside the good bread, he can't say, I prefer to have the bad bread. No one's going to say that.
Right, but what he's saying is, right, if you take out bread and say, oh my God, this was the bad bread, then you can run back in and take out the good bread.
Right.
Umatzilim miyom kippurim l'shabbos. You can save even from Yom Kippur to Shabbos. Avalo mishabbos Yom Kippur. You can't save from Shabbos Yom Kippur, which falls on Sunday, because Yom Kippur you can't eat. And on Motzi Yom Kippur, that's when you can, be matriach. and you can't do it on Shabbos for Sunday. Vein tzarech lomar fa mi Shabbos. Mi Shabbos Yom Tov. You can't go from Shabbos to Yom Tov because you're not allowed, because you can prepare on Yom Tov for Yom Tov itself. So you should wait. Below mi Shabbos, Shabbos above. You can't say one Shabbos to the next Shabbos. Tana Rabbanan. Our rabbis teach. Hold on a second. Shachach pas betana v'kiddush l'olav hayom. Let's see if you've got bread in the oven and now it's Shabbos. Matzil mazon shalosh sudos. You have nothing to eat. So then you're allowed to take the bread of, take food for three meals. V'omer lachem bo v'atzil lachem. You can take other people, take other food for you also. Uchshu rodeh, but when you take it from the oven, lo yudim amarda. Don't take it out with a kli that you typically use to, this is called radia sapas. That's where I think it's like I think it's like a pita style. It's like a flat out of the oven. So there's a way to take the bread out, so that would be forbidden. You're separating it from the walls of the oven, so normally you can't do that. So rather, you only take it out with a knife. Ini, is that true? V'atarin d'vei Rav Yishmol, lo satsa kol b'locha, yosat kia shofar, diya sapas. She chachma ve'ena malacha. When the Torah said, Rav Yishmol said, and the Torah says, don't do any malacha. So it comes to tell you that only a malacha is forbidden. Kia shofar, diya sapas. They're chachmas and not malachas. There's no prohibition to do them on Shabbos. So then why is it forbidden to remove it? Why is it forbidden to do radia for three meals? So more answers, the more that you can change it from the weekday, so then it's better. I think according to there's a Tosfos which says that the Tosfos says that the Gemara wants to say that there is a rabbinic an Isidro Rabbanan to do Radia Sapas. And therefore, if it's possible to change it, you need to change it. The Ran held that, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that there's no prohibition of Radia Sapas to begin with. And therefore, it's more of like an Uvda Dechol type of issue. Okay? So like that's a debate. Whether it's Radia Sapas, or simply like it's like a, more of like a, you should change, it's like an Uvda Dechol type of halacha.
Why is he allowed to do this with the bread to tell other people that they can take out? So can he do that with anything, like with the two animals or with more than three meals? I mean, why is there this thing with bread that you can tell other people, hey, if you need it, you can take it?
I think what he's saying is if you need three meals, so you can take three meals, but you can't take out for them.
So with the animals before, could someone else say, okay, I need an animal to chef do, and he takes out the second animal?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. Okay, if I give you my animal, okay, I don't know if I'm going to give you my very expensive animal. I heard they're very expensive.
Oh.
Right? Amar Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, Olam Yashkim Adam Lotzah Shabbos. Shenemar. A person should always get up early Erev Shabbos to prepare for Shabbos. Shenemar. V'hoyah b'yom ha-shishi ve'ichina esha she'aviyu. On Friday, they're going to prepare that which they're bringing. So that was la'altar. They would get the man. They would get the man early in the morning. Rabbi Abba, Peshavas, Chayvah, Liv Tzoa, Al Shtei Kikros. So now we're talking about breaking bread on Shabbos. Your person is obligated to recite Birchas HaMotzi on two loaves of bread, Yachsiv, Lecha Mishnah, because the Pasuk says they took Lecha Mishnah. Rav Ashi, Chazinan Lei, the Rav Kahana, the Naka Tarte, Batzachad. He actually held two loaves when he recited the Bracha, and he broke one of them. Amar, Lok Tu Siv. Because it says why? Because it says Lok Tu. It says he held with two loaves, and right, only on taking the Lecha Mishnah, only they took the man, they held it. So you have to hold both loaves. But on the breaking of the bread, it doesn't say Lecha Mishnah. So you only need to hold the two loaves. When you recite the bracha, you hold both loaves. And then when you break, you only have to break one of the two loaves. Rabbi Zeira, that's what we have. Sometimes, right, you have... let's say you have, three loaves of bread, so you can make, right? And someone's coming a little bit later, so what do? You make hamotzi on two loaves, and you only break one of the loaves, and then let's say someone's coming a little bit later to make hamotzi, you give them one of your loaves, and he takes another one. That halacha only works because why? Because you only have to break one loaf. You don't have to break two loaves. Rav Zeira hava batza kula shirusa. He would break a big piece. That would be enough for the whole meal. He did it for Kavod Shabbos. It shows that he loves Shabbos. He's going to eat a lot. This is where the halacha is. You don't gain weight on Shabbos. Right? It's from this Gemara. Okay. So, Amar le Ravina le Rav Ashi. Ravina said to Rav Ashi, Vamechse kirav tanusa. And you're acting like someone who's like starving. You have to have like so much bread, like a glutton. You make yourself you seem like you're starving. Is that appropriate? Amalei came to the chol yom alavid. Since you don't do this every day, vayino hudakavi. And now you're doing it, lo mechse kirav tanuta. You're not doing this, I'm someone who, I'm always starving. I'm always hungry. I only care about my physical pleasures. You're showing I'm doing this for Kavod Shabbos, eating a little more on Shabbos. Ravami Ravasi, Kimikla, Lehurifta, Leiru, when they prepared the bread for Erev Chatzeros. Shari Ilave. So they began the meal and they recited the Bracha of Hamotzi with it. Amri, Ho, Visave, Bachad, Mitzvah, Lisava, Mitzvah, Chride. That since they did one mitzvah, they're going to do another mitzvah. Since one mitzvah of Erev Chatzeros was done with it, so another mitzvah of Hamotzi was done with it. Okay, we will stop here and